the council could come to order and staff return to their tables, appreciate it. Okay, so we're moving on in DPW. If Brian, if you could give us the next department and the page number.
Yes, Mr. President. Excuse me. Next is sanitation. General fund is on page 61 and on page 36 of the personnel supplement. Excuse me. And before I turn it over to Matt, I would like to point out an error that was made that we'll have to address. 64,239, historically that has been budgeted at $1,000. That was a typo on my part, and it's been proposed at $11,000. That should have been $1,000. I'll turn it over to
that should be an addition of $1,000.
No, it should be a budget of $1,000, not $11,000.
Not 11.
Okay. 0% increase. Not 1,000.
Okay, Matt, did you want to discuss this budget?
So sanitation is next. We're asking for a budget of $2.752635 million. We have no vacancies. This represents an overall increase of 9.66% or $242,534. The increase for the major part is due to an increase in the tipping fees, which represents $121,000, and the other increases for $40,000 in overtime.
Councilman Lazar.
Matt, you took my thunder on 64,239.
I can't hear
you. I say you took my thunder on 64,239, but that's okay. I'm only kidding. It's a joke. Lighten up. glad you appreciate the humor, Mr. Mayor. Matt, tipping fees. I know the council president asked a question on it. I can speak to that. I understand it. I get it. I deal with, let's just say, a lot of dumpsters in my business. And in July, a 30-yard dumpster went from $440 to $550. It went from $72 a ton. I think I'm up to $95 a ton. It is absolutely out of control what's going on at the landfill and with those tipping fees. So I don't find your request for the increase to be excessive based upon the numbers I just told you happened to me. Mine's obviously much higher than 10%.
Thank you.
Matt, there was a time when on a truck there was three guys. Now with the automated trucks there's only one, and it was a significant savings. But we have heard you come before us regarding how long the trucks have been on the road now, and I just wonder if you could give us an update on that issue.
I'd be glad to give you an update, Mayor.
Mayor, thank you. I've been elevated.
If I could.
Gwen, can I move in the front office?
As we know, we have an aging fleet. Unfortunately, our DPW automotive garage is doing a great job in keeping them going, but they're on their last leg. We've been specking out trucks, and there are a lot of trucks that fit our need. However, these aren't trucks that are already constructed. Just like the fire apparatus that was purchased this year and the rescues and so forth, these items have to be built. And the building time ranges anywhere from 8 months to 12 months. Our needs are immediate. So we've been looking throughout the country, different companies. There are companies that lease trucks, and then they come off lease, and they want to sell them to communities. They may be readily available, but a lot of them are beat. And, you know, we don't want to go from the frying pan to the fire, so to speak, and repairing something that may not be a good product. We would prefer to lease new, but we have the time constraints. They try to box you into leasing new, but really we have the ability to lease directly ourselves because we're retiring debt, so we can now afford to replace the debt that we're retiring with heavy duty equipment such as this, which I think lasts anywhere from 10 to 15 years. Is that correct, Matt? So that's what we're exploring now. We're pedal to the metal with it. We've examined different products, the pros and cons. John Needham from our garage, automotive division, who works on these, he supervises all the technicians that work on this, has been very instrumental in assisting the director and myself in identifying what product is going to be most durable for the city, needing less repairs, longevity, warranty, things of that nature. But we have been proceeding very actively in that direction. I know early on when I took office and the old DPW director was there, there was a truck that he was bringing forth before the council, and it was around the transition time, and in examining that particular truck, it did not meet the qualifications for endurance, cost effectiveness. I think it was quite expensive too. It was kind of like getting the Pierce apparatus. You know, it may have been high tech, but it wasn't durable for the functions we needed. Sometimes the simplistic approach with less of the high tech increases the durability and longevity of these products. And we expect this year that we will be able to add to the fleet. And in the meantime, I'm very pleased with how our automotive division is handling not just the repairs to the refuse trucks, but to all our equipment, including fire apparatus.
Mayor, didn't we just purchase a ladder truck?
Yes, we did.
And you were able to purchase a used ladder truck for $25,000?
Well, they were asking $35,000, Mr. President.
So,
but we were able to negotiate them down to $25,000.
So now that you've set that standard, we will accept nothing less with regard to trash.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser, and then Councilman Snappy.
Matt, just to follow up on the mayor, we've said it many times in the Finance Committee, particularly the last 3, 4, 5 months. You've been doing an outstanding job, getting what some people would call a broken down vehicle with short dollars in making those vehicles come to life and get some good use out of them. So my suggestion would be perhaps you could reach out, maybe find someone in your administration who has experience in the used vehicle business and may be able to help you find some of those vehicles.
I think that would be the mayor.
Fortunately, he possesses that ability. But all kidding aside, we have been bringing individuals on from different avenues. We have individuals at the police garage, a new director, the colonel just hired, and very, very adept in obtaining surplus vehicles, used apparatus and equipment, military surplus. And I didn't want to spring it here tonight, but I can tell you now, and I was waiting till Christmas, but I'll do it tonight. Director Salitro and myself have acquired three 3/4-ton pickups with plows, two dump trucks, heavy-duty dump trucks, a snow Oshkosh. I guess they call it an Oshkosh. It's like a big snow blower. And I would say a significant value of equipment that is in excellent condition, runs super. It's not pretty, but it's very functional. Will adhere to our DPW, our POX. It will plow our streets, and it's got longevity. It's something that'll be around for a while until we get back on our feet and we can get better apparatus. And you couldn't beat the price. The price was $1 and maybe a banner to be announced.
What's the value of the vehicles that you folks were able to obtain?
Probably upwards of $350,000 to $500,000. One of them is actually a triaxle dump truck. Although, as the mayor said, they're not the prettiest vehicles in the world. They are mechanically perfect. They've never left the airport. Christmas, sorry.
Can't keep a secret.
So...
Can I strike that from the record?
No. So, I mean, we all have thick skin, and we'll all get, you know, bombed for what we do or what we don't do. But, you know, it's nice to have hard work pay off. It's nice to be able to purchase things for $25,000, and it's nice to be able to get $350,000 worth of equipment for a dollar. And it doesn't go unrecognized by this councilman or any of the other councilmen. We certainly appreciate everybody's hard work.
It was a savings to the taxpayers in excess of $1 million. You didn't see us run out to the media. You didn't see us run out to the television stations. We just put our heads down and did it. And it wasn't done by Matt and myself. This council voted for the allotment to acquire that ladder truck with 18,000 miles on it. So it's a team effort, and it will always be a team effort. And we will remain positive going forward, even though we struggle with the current coming against us. We just put our heads down and we go forward to do the job we were elected to do for the benefit of our constituents and taxpayers.
Councilman Sinapi.
So for this budget, when we go to page 66, are these one and the same, recycling compost and recycling / sanitation? And if not, then it should be noted that recycling compost isn't on our agenda.
So are you saying we're off budget?
No, I'm just confused. We have page 61, recycling / sanitation, and then we have page 66, recycling compost.
And your question is, what's the difference?
Yeah, are these all, we could also consider them all as one right now, or is that a separate?
Councilman, if you're asking, compost is 68? That's
page 66.
He wants to know, page 66, is this included in the topic that we're discussing? No. Councilman Qualley.
Matt, I remember when we used to actually generate income through recycling in Warwick. The tipping fees are what we pay for the garbage, not the recycling that is sent to the landfill, is that still the case?
The tipping fees are for trash, not recycling.
And what is our compliance percentage-wise with people separating the recycling from the garbage?
We're pretty much almost 100% compliant. We require that both barrels, the trash and the recycling, be put out at the same time, even if you don't have any recycling or conversely have any trash, just to make sure that everybody is aware that this saves the taxpayers and of the city of Warwick money overall to do it properly and not mix recyclables.
I understand that, and sometimes when we have people over, we put out all three of them for you.
Councilman, I didn't mean to interrupt you for a sec, but could we check with MIS to make sure the audio is working on the live stream? Thank you. Go ahead.
And can you give me an estimate as to what is the lifespan of the current landfill? I understand that it is coming near the end of its life.
That would be out of my purview. That would be a state question.
Okay. Thanks. I just thought you might know.
You're talking about the current lifespan of the
Johnson landfill. Yeah, I know that my wife brings her class there, and I know it was brought up, but I did not know when it might be running out, because it is something they were talking about that they don't have an alternative now.
I don't believe I've heard anything about it.
Clearly, that's a moving target, but we've known from DEM for quite some time now that the state landfill will have to close within, you know, maybe the decade, right? So for the state, you've seen this problem that's sometimes commingled with the sustainability effort that's going on. You saw it with Brayton Point, where they moved away from coal, then gas, and now looking at sustainable methods like wind power. I think the same can be said. The issue, though, with solid waste is much larger than that. As recycling cost goes down, the sale of recycled materials goes down per pound. We're in a quandary now, because now we don't have solid waste facilities, and the cost for recycling has gone down. So as a New England region, we really have to continue to work with Rhode Island DEM, EPA, and some of the initiatives going forward as to a solution. Well, for New England, we are going to be as restricted as we are now with energy costs being some of the highest in the region. This is a field under my planning hat now that is really something that is only going to be done in a collaborative way. And unfortunately, it's easier said than done. We talked about the power plant in northern Rhode Island, and you saw the controversy that came with that. Landfills and replacing landfills is going to be the same. If not for us, for our children. It's only going to increase the landfill and tipping costs. I think at the end of the day for the budget hearing, it's only going to increase these tipping fees going forward.
Thank you. Any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? Yes.
John Simino, Ward 6. Just a clarification. Going back to what Mr. Cody said and the big thing with the PCO 1717, I kind of think that my interpretation of it was the problem was DPW, it has several divisions, but DPW is the department. So when you just restarted this meeting after the break, you said we're going to do the next department. The next department. They're not next department. So I think the terms department and division are getting confused. And I think that PCO 1717, the problem with that may be the language that says department rather than divisions. So that's my only clarification, because okay. I was a little confused. You kept saying next department.
So
I'm thinking it's the fire department.
I will clarify that. Thanks for that. And I am reading off of a pre-printed sheet.
Absolutely.
And that's the order that's been filed online. And so I can also say DPW, and I can say Division of Engineering.
I was a little confused there for a minute when exchange was going on, and when the ordinance was mentioned. It appears to me that the ordinance that was read said department, which is probably leading to the confusion of what gets put where in each division. So that was, I just wanted to make that,
okay.
If that was an understanding, if that's correct.
It's an easy fix. Okay. So are there any other questions from members of the public? If not, could we move to the next division? It's entitled Department. And could we get the line item? I'm Brian, and the page.
Next up is Public Works Automotive Division. That is on page 62 of the General Fund and page 37 of the Personnel Supplement.
The Automotive Division is seeking a budget of $2.446940 million. We have no vacancies, and we have reduced the budget by 2.25%, which is equal or equivalent to a dollar amount of $56,299. Below last year's budget. Yep. Sorry.
Councilman Lattiser.
Matt, could you speak to the increase in motor oil? It's line 65212. Year-end forecast is 27. The austerity is 36.
So I'm not sure if at this time it was posted for the encumbrance, but I know we recently purchased oil, and that should be reflective of our request.
And the director and I discussed the increased purchases at this time because if you look at the world market cost and what's going on in the world right now, I think oil is back up to, it's fluctuating between 69 and sometimes going over $70 a barrel. As to the last few years, we've enjoyed the luxury of the 30 to 40 range. So that's the, as Council President would say, the 500-pound elephant in the room that we're not going to be able to engage. That will be based on world events in the future, and we just pray for the best.
Thank you. Matt, also 65-281, what's the steel materials for 7,000?
Steel materials are what we rebuild the trash trucks, the recycling trucks, sheet metal, I-beams, square stock, key stock, things like that. Also, welding rod, helmets, masks, and argon gas, welding gases.
Thank you.
To keep the trucks running with.
Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. And Director, I know you gave me and other members of the council a tour of your department, and I know the automotive department division works very hard to keeping our vehicles on the road. Councilman Lattiser, I talked about the great work that you guys are doing and piecing things together. I think we call them some mutant trucks out there and different from different parts and everything like that. And I just want to commend the work that they do because it's very important to keep these vehicles maintained and on the road serving the public. So I just wanted to send that thought along. And also on the steel materials going up, I think we're seeing that not just here in the city, but across New England and the country. Whereas different things going on the federal level is increasing, I'm sure on the steel along with the oil. That these are costs that we unfortunately can't control here in Warwick. So I just want to point that out.
Yeah. Thank you, Councilman. I'd like to add also that under this DPW director, who I confide with very frequently, we have undertaken a program where we keep our apparatus cleaned off, whether it be washing off or steaming off, summer, winter salt and sand in a storm. Last year when I became mayor of the city, there were several dump trucks that were in City Yard loaded up to the top with sand and salt that had been there for several months. I don't have to tell you what sand and salt in the back of an open bed, subject to the weather, can do to that bed. We did not have the resources to replace that, those items with new equipment. Immediately, upon conferring with each other and the automotive and our personnel, we shoveled that sand out. We repaired all that equipment, fixed it, repaired it, oiled it, greased it, so that we were able to get another winter's use out of that. But again, that's proactive approach to taking care of your assets for longevity and endurance. That was not done in the past. However, under this administration and its directors, that is our direction now. And that benefits all of the taxpayers and the residents of this community. I would like to say someday that we hit the lottery and we can replace everything new. But that's just a dream. But we'll make do and we'll get through this. Whether we have to beg for equipment or keep things together, we will get through this. And again, it's a new team. I'm proud of the team that we have, and everyone is taking a proactive approach. And I see people taking pride in their work. And when you take pride in your work, that means you take pride in your job and you appreciate your job. And I see a genuine change of demeanor that's occurring in a positive way. But again, being proactive with not just the acquisition of equipment, but maintaining and keeping them clean. And I talked to the fire chief, and he's with the same program. I talked to the police chief. Again, these are items that we value and we want to get the most use out of. And that's how we're going to get through these difficult financial times ahead. There will be changes, I'm sure, as we go down the line. And that will come slowly. It does not come overnight, but Warwick will become an even better place to live in. Thank you, sir.
Mayor, just we had lost audio, so you were talking about the acquisition of equipment. And just to reiterate for the people that are watching at home, you and your staff were able to acquire $350,000 worth of equipment for a dollar. I don't want to reveal what Matt revealed because he was saved by an audio blackout. But how many pieces of equipment was it, Matt? If you could just tell us again how many pieces of equipment and what they were, what you were able to acquire, so people at home could understand.
We acquired three F-250 pickup trucks with plows, a six-wheeler Mac, an Oshkosh snowblower, and a 10-wheel Mac.
And the value of that equipment?
Upwards of $350,000 to $500,000 if you had to replace them.
Thank
easily.
You. Okay. Are there any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? If not, we'll move on to the next division, Brian.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next division is building maintenance. That is going to be found on page 64 of the general fund and page 38 of the personnel supplement.
So building maintenance budget is $1.414408 million. We have five vacancies. This budget compared to last year is a reduction overall by 0.9% or $12,781.
Okay, Councilman Lattisaw.
Matt, on 66-101, you're showing a 7.84% increase in salaries. What is that attributed to?
The salary increase is both the contractual raise and longevity. The overall budget from last year to this year is down almost 1%. Currently, there is a posting, or there will be a posting for a position in that department due to a recent retirement. We are operating on a skeleton crew right now that has to be remobilized and will be remobilized to address some of the needs within our city departments. As you know, building maintenance has been assisting us in getting Buttonwoods Community Center set up for the move in the very near future. And had we had a full complement there, that would have expedited that process too.
So, Mayor, the five vacancies that Matt alluded to, that's provided for on the budget, fulfilling those positions?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we need a director, and, you know, we need those positions. But as I stated earlier, Councilman, before we commenced on these public hearings relative to the budget, we were faced last year for revenues with a budget that projected revenues we never received, that projected savings we never realized or could not be realized, with pay raises that were not funded. So there was a lot of backfilling that had to take place to meet our obligations to keep the city running. Some people were working as if they were two people, long hours, working very hard to keep the city running, but it takes its toll on you. Without a director and without people to replace the people that have retired or have left their position because they may have moved out of state or whatever, we have to replace those people because little things like painting, these things used to be maintained. It's easier to maintain things in a proactive approach than let something go unpainted where the wood is rotted and then you've got to replace the structural item as opposed to the dealing with the maintenance aspect of it. And I'm sure you're very, very familiar with it based on the trade that you know, your profession. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But again, these are part of the difficult items we had to deal with in the last 12 months. And I hope that a year from now, we're all sitting in this room and we have an even more positive result than we've had in the last 12 months.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes,
historically, we've been around $85,000 and $75,000 as part of the budget reduction. The austerity budget, we've taken it out a little bit, taken some money out of it.
So our buildings are better?
Our buildings are not better. We're just trying to do a little bit more with less.
I like that saying.
I thought you would.
Okay, any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? If not, we'll move on to the next division.
Yes, Mr. Next is engineering. That can be found on page 65 of the general fund and page 39 on the personnel supplement.
So the proposed budget for 2020 in engineering is $1.810442 million. Currently have one vacancy. This represents an overall increase of 29.08%, or $407,824. The major portion of the increase is the streetlight increase, because that comes out of the engineering department budget.
Councilman Sinapi.
Just one question. The 67406 Greenwich Bay Stormwater Treatment Project, it looks like we're consistently budgeting it over 100,000, but not hitting that. And it looks like we're budgeting it again for that amount. So can you just explain that?
Bill, you want to speak to the stormwater plan? This encumbers all the stormwater plan. I'm going to let Bill.
Yes. That was subject to the budget reduction plan. As you can see, the budget reduction plan reduced it by, was it 10,000? In the current year.
Right, I get that. But so 2017, we only spent of that 112 budgeted, not even 40. 2018, of the 100 budgeted, we only spent 62. It seems to be consistently well underspent. So I'm just wondering why we're continuing to budget that much.
You want to speak to the plan and how that's going? The engineer, is the engineer here? Maybe you can speak to it.
Relative to last fiscal year, one of the things I faced, Councilman Sinapi, was when I took office, I think I was a month or a month and a half into office, the city engineer retired, or I should say resigned, retired, moved on. We advertised for an engineer on two or three different occasions, and there was no takers, and we were trying to figure out why no one would want to apply for a position that I thought was a decent pay. Well, apparently in the private sector, there's more of a demand for engineers right now that is more lucrative. So sitting down with my chief of staff and the DPW director, we have engineering needs, aside from the road aspect, which Eric does the road aspect, Eric Hindinger. But we need other engineering needs. So right now we're at the crossroad that if we cannot get this position filled by an employee, that we will go out on a contract basis, project basis, which may or may not be more cost effective, but at least it will address the needs that are necessary relative to engineering studies within the city engineering work, such as the Greenwich Bay plan, such as the plan that was down at Oakland Beach at that time last year. I think it was recently implemented. And there's a number of other plans, whether it be by the lake or by the brooks. I mean, these are all engineering issues that involve environmental enhancement, so to speak, or preservation. And if necessary, until we can find a steady engineer for the city of Warwick, we will try to retain an engineer that is adept in the project that he will be addressing, whether it be environmental, whether it be construction, whether it be catch basins. Again, we'll get the specialist until we can get someone on board that wants to work for the city of Warwick. I don't know what we're going to do for funding, if to try to increase funding, but if necessary, that may be a solution. But in the meantime, you asked about what has been expended, what hasn't been expended. That's the reason total funds have not been expended in that category. Not that it wasn't needed. It was that we didn't have an employee in place. That employee also retired or transferred.
Just one follow-up. Mayor eloquently put that. This is a requirement. Just the Greenwich Bay Stormwater Program is a compliance requirement from DEM. And the stormwater program that goes along with that is usually devised by the engineer. And like the mayor said, we went out several times. We put it on Indeed. We really scoured the earth, and economy must be great because we couldn't get any qualified engineers to come forward. And so the mayor's plan, I think, is a ripe one. If that doesn't happen again, we'll have professional services. To answer your question, Mr. Sinapi, is that if we had professional service, they could design a program to meet the stormwater compliance that we have with DEM, and then we'll be able to expend those funds at a higher rate than what was happening with the hiatus of the city engineer. Hopefully that explains it. Sorry.
Mr. DePasquale, I know that in the past we've talked about engineering and consulting services with the planning department in particular, and the mayor just brought up the plan for Greenwich Bay, the SAM plan. We've also talked about the outfalls around the airport, and it seems like and I'm in agreement with the mayor that sometimes we get engineers in that may be technically sufficient in one area, but maybe they don't have the experience in another area. And when you hire an engineering firm, you get a little bit of everything. And I can remember many years ago the review, I think it was under the Chafee administration, when the wall collapsed over by the Staples on Route 2, and whether the engineering was done properly and whether the plans were reviewed correctly. And I just see a huge benefit for projects that may not be within a person's expertise. And I can also reference other projects with traffic that come up a lot, especially with planning, and whether you need a physical alteration permit for curb cuts on major highways. I think Mr. DePasquale will remember a project where one was a physical alteration permit was not taken up on Route 2. Which caused that project to come back to the council. So I'm in agreement, not that you folks would have to do it this year, but there are another number of projects. I know in Councilman Howe's ward, flooding is a major issue, and looking at engineering in those areas are significant, and he's been very vocal on those issues. So, I would certainly support that type of initiative. Thank you. Is there any other comments from council members? Is there any comments from members of the public? If not, we'll move on to the next division.
Thank you, Mr. President. Next up is compost on page 66 of the general fund.
The compost budget proposed for fiscal year 2020 is $66,500, which comes out of commodities and services only. There is no personnel associated with this item. This represents a 10.74% or $8,000 reduction from last year's budget.
Councilman Sinapi.
So this question is probably best for Mr. Harrington. Are we allowed to discuss this because this one's not on our agenda? Or does it fall under the auspices of all these DPW ones?
You're posing a legal question?
Yes, sir.
That's, okay. So I'll defer to our city council solicitor. Did you hear the question?
Did you say repeat the question? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, he's
the question, and I just saw on the list it's not there, so wasn't part of the posted it wasn't part of the posted agenda for this evening.
May I? Mr. President, if I suggest on the title and the budget, it's actually recycling compost, and recycling is defined, sanitation recycling, as a Wednesday being heard at 4. So when you're actually...
Okay. I was going to, as I'm thinking through whether the posting is in compliance, the third item on the list says sanitation recycling, and this is a part of recycling. One section that was done a few minutes ago was recycling something. Recycling sanitation, and this is recycling compost. So I would think that the general posting of recycling covers the notice provision.
Thank you. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But just to call back, that's why I asked the question earlier about if these were one and the same.
Very good. Do you have any questions on this item? No. Okay. Councilman Ricks.
Recycling compost. Is there any part of this, I suppose, division or part of a division that is revenue generating?
We actually do sell it by the yard, $10 a yard for landscape companies.
Thank
that's
you.
Revenue.
Any other questions from council members? Councilman Howe.
Just quickly, Mr. Director, I remember a few meetings ago also you said that we accept East Greenwich's or other municipalities' compost, mm-hmm. and then we use it there and they pay us to accept it?
Correct.
Okay.
That came before you two meetings ago, I believe.
That's right. Okay. Thank you. So also revenue generating. Thank you.
Matt, could you explain that a little bit, what you're able to do with East Greenwich?
What we're able to do with East Greenwich is increase the amount and use the amount that's allocated to East Greenwich as well as ours so that we can dispose of more and take in more in our facility. Combine the two municipalities together as opposed to just one.
So we're now taking, just explain that process so people can understand that we're now taking in their compost.
We're taking compost from East Greenwich. They're bringing it to us, and
Paying us a fee for that.
They're paying us a fee for that. Yes, and by mandated by the state, each municipality gets X amount to take. So we're taking theirs in, making money on it. We generated $1,500 by selling compost last year. And we give it to our residents for free, which they're there. They call it black gold. They're there all the time, filling up constantly. It's actually a nice product.
Thank you.
It's great for your garden.
Is there any other questions from council members? Any questions from members of the public? Yes, just identify yourself for the record.
John Seminole, Ward 6. I guess it's in response to your question to the council solicitor. It is under recycling, so we can discuss them together. On page 66, we're doing recycling compost, and it has a separate sheet for the recycling sanitation. In the personnel one, we just have one recycling sanitation. We have none for recycling compost. So are they both combined on this one form, or are they separate and one was left out?
There's no personnel cost on the recycling compost section of that.
Okay, there's no employees or
no,
anything?
No.
Okay. That answers. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from members of the public? If not, we'll move on.
Next up, Mr. President, is Public Works Field Maintenance. This is on page 67, but moving forward, field maintenance is going to be within the Department of Parks and Recreation. There is no budget.
Mr. President, if you don't mind, this was a very proud initiative that the mayor had. When he started his campaign about repairing the city's roads and infrastructure, and what he saw was a need for a recreational facility to get a facelift after years and years and probably decades of neglect. It really troubled him, and what he found was that once Parks and Recreation was absorbed by DPW years ago, you saw programming diminish, and you saw that DPW became more, I mean, Parks and Recreation became more of a subordinate stepchild of DPW. This community, when I grew up, had a very strong Parks and Recreation Department. It offered young and old lots of opportunities that the mayor believes in and he's committed to. I present to you a new Parks and Recreation Department that was split from DPW. This is a revenue neutral. We're not paying a penny more, but what you're getting is greater programming. The mayor was just 2 weeks ago out on a pickleball court learning the fastest growing sport, pickleball. We're talking about reutilizing our assets to meet a whole new generation of folks, whether they're 55 and older or whether our youngest children. Is a programming set from 1960 or is it set for today? Young women's lacrosse is probably something we want to look at. Some of the other sports may be dying. This is a first foray into going into this section. What we're going to have to do tonight in order to have comparisons is look at last year's Parks and Recreation expenditures under as a division of DPW versus what is proposed tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with regards to that, as Mr. DePasquale just stated, on page 45 of the general fund budget is the budget itself for the Department of Parks and Recreation. And if you flip to page 47, you have historical data, and that is the totals for 17, 18, and 19 fiscal years for the previous divisions of Parks and Recreation. They are Moore Barton Arena, McDermott Pool, and field maintenance of the previous of Public Works.
I'm James Scott, representing the Department of Parks and Recreation. This year, we are requesting a budget of $3,024,236, which, as said before, represents a zero increase. We have 39 employees. Within these 39 employees, that includes six part-time harbor master positions. Right now, we have two vacant positions and a total of four vacant positions if you add two empty assistant harbor master positions.
And are you planning on filling those positions?
Yes.
And how soon?
That would depend on personnel posting the positions.
And as far as the field maintenance goes, do you have plans for certain projects this year, or as far as expenditures go, or are these just overall maintaining of specific fields?
What we're doing, Mr. President, is we're bringing parks back to the neighborhoods. I don't know why, I don't know how, Parks and Recreation became engulfed in DPW and Highway. But what we're doing is restoring it the way it was so that there could be more of a concentration on our athletic facilities, our fields, our leagues. What that complex has begun to us, the Mickey Stevens complex, from the ice skating rink itself, has attracted tournaments from people throughout the country, brought them into our community, stayed within our hotels, catered to our businesses. There's been a neglect when it comes to some of our fields, not because people weren't concerned about fields. People still love baseball, and I've just learned about pickleball. There's an evolving recreation group and sector of societies. Recreation deals with toddlers, whether they be peewee ice skaters or little league ball players or retired individuals that want to expand pickleball courts. It's the fast, as the chief of staff has indicated, that's the fastest growing sport in the country. And I hate to say it's probably around my age group. But I don't hate to say it because they're a great group of people. I met them. I learned about the game. But by separating Parks and Recreation, we're putting more emphasis. I know as a representative of Ward 4, there's a number of small ball fields that are within our ward that maybe the grass was cut, but they weren't really maintained or utilized. They didn't bring you that neighborhood feeling. The one that, I don't know if you recall, but the one I recall growing up with. The swing sets, the hiring of students for the summer to supervise games and activities for children in the neighborhood. These are things that Warwick hasn't seen for a while. Improvements in efficiencies, because we're able to concentrate on certain factors, whether it be the painting of an ice skating rink or changing of an ice, of the ice, or paying attention to what's breaking down at the pool and addressing it one time as opposed to addressing it weekly or monthly. Solving that problem once, not repetitive bills accumulating and being paid. Again, it's an expansive organization. It's an expansive It's an expansive task that cannot be handled by DPW. I don't care if DPW had his brother working for him or Parks and Recreation had their son working for them. No two people can do that. No four people can do that. It's a separate entity. It's an evolving entity that requires full concentration and devotion. Many of you may not be aware, but with the Parks and Recreation office used to be in a trailer behind the rink, in between the compost facility and the rink. Well, it's not there any longer. Parks and Recreation offices occupy the Cooper building on the first floor. There are three offices. That's the Parks and Recreation. And the reason it's there is when the general public has to deal with Parks and Recreation, it's not hidden. It's visible. It's on a bus line. It's in the Cooper building, of which we haven't had optimum use with for the last 20 years. Now we're getting use. Parks and Recreation's there. That's important. Accessibility, visibility, and expertise. And we have the experts. We have the direction that we want the city to go in the recreation area. whether it be increased leagues. Again, our facilities have been underutilized simply because there's been, whether it be from scheduling, manpower, things of that nature. We want to expand that, because by expanding that, by expanding, updating things, refurbishing things, even a fresh coat of paint, it makes people feel good about the facility that they're using, that they're clean, they're neat, they're safe, they're not an attractive nuisance to of people that more or less you feel safe bringing your children there. Some place that's safe, whether it be a supervised playground, a beach. We've got beautiful beaches in this community. We have someone to concentrate, a department that concentrates on those beaches. It gives us a faster response time. And the best part about this, Mr. President, and my colleagues on the City Council, it doesn't cost us one additional dollar than it did last year. So what's wrong with being better and more efficient at zero cost increase? I think it's a plus-plus for the community. It's my initiative, and I stand behind it, and I'm proud of it. And I know that each and every one of us within our wards has a ball field somewhere, or a basketball court, without a net, without a hoop, maybe some graffiti. We're going to eliminate that. There's going to be a net. There's going to be a hoop, and that graffiti is going to be gone. You can't let it stay, because if you have graffiti, it promotes more graffiti. And having concentration like that allows our DPW department to do their job, to keep our roads safe, to pick up our garbage, which everyone expects. These are things the taxpayers expect and require and need. Granted, we received calls today because garbage wasn't picked up at 8 o'clock this morning. It's not because we forgot about you. It's because due to breakdowns that we have to repair these trucks until we get new trucks, it's going to be picked up later in the day. But whether it be recreation or garbage pickup, we're not going to sacrifice the services that the public expect and are entitled to. They pay good taxes, and we want to make sure they get the maximum benefit for those taxes. And though I have 1 year in, hopefully there'll be even more results a year from now. And it, my door is open to expanding with new ideas from each and every one of you and members of the community, because that's what's going to bring this city forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I know that I've seen a real large need in recreational space. I know that there were times when one of my daughters was playing soccer and she shared it with a field. She was playing for Warwick Soccer, and she shared it with a field with a football team that also had a baseball team. And the field was, it was a maybe football-sized field, and it was divided. And at the time, I called the recreation director, and before that position was eliminated, and he was saying that they don't have enough fields, that the teams are looking for space. And I look at what's going on down in North Kingstown with the indoor fields that were being built worldwide south, and there's a worldwide north. I look at just in East Providence, I think it was a Bayside Soccer Association raised and built their own field in East Providence and spent, I believe it was $1.3 to $1.7 million on a soccer complex there. So there's a huge need in these communities for recreation. I think it's been neglected for years, and I applaud your efforts.
Yes. And if I may, Mr. President, I'm glad you did bring up fields, because fields is an important focus for us. whether it be baseball fields, soccer fields. Many people say, well, why aren't we doing the fields behind Mickey Stevens? There's a reason, because I love our children. I love the people that play on these fields. Those fields, many years ago, those people who don't or aren't from Warwick, that used to be a trash site, a dumping site. Historically, I can't tell you what was there. I can tell you it wasn't pretty and it wasn't healthy. It was capped and ball fields were placed above it. I, for one, though we've explored that avenue, don't feel that we should be throwing good money after bad. If we can't allow our children or our citizens to play in a safe environment, I'd rather not have them there. So with the director and myself, we're going to put a search committee throughout the city of Warwick where field location may be more conducive, safe, and environmentally friendly to those who utilize it. We're going to be proactive on that approach. But when someone says, well, why aren't you fixing the field near the compost facility or near the old Le Sona factory or in that area where the old dumping ground used to be, the landfill used to be, you can say that you heard it here tonight why I'm not going in that direction, because I'm concerned for the health safety of the people that would utilize those fields. But we're not oblivious to the need and requirement that we go forward and find good usable fields that are located in a place that most people can enjoy.
And I was just going to follow up by saying I know of soccer organizations that are leasing space for almost the whole year, and they're paying $100,000 a year to rent the turf fields. And I think those turf fields, depending on whether you put lights in or not, are around $1.5, $1.7 million. So you're looking at being able to pay, in many cases, just with one organization renting the field, never mind two or three, your principal and interest on bonds. And I like to see us expand that search to possibly build more turf fields with some stands, and as the mayor said, attract tournaments, because now you have lacrosse, you have baseball, you have soccer, you have football. And I know some organizations, although it fell on deaf ears with the previous administration, were interested in building down at Barton Farm, where many years ago we had purchased 68 acres, Mayor, was it, of open space on the initiative of other councils. I remember at that time, Mayor, there was a condominium complex that was going to go in down there, and the council stepped forward to purchase that property. Councilman Howe, and then Councilman Ricks first, and then Councilman Howe.